We're getting ready to discuss something that is going to be of tremendous benefit to many of you. Some of you, because you are either in maybe the early stages of training as a therapist, psychologist, counselor. Some of you, because you will be working with someone who will be counseling you. And that has to do with something that Dr. Scheel alluded to very, very briefly a little bit earlier, and that is whether to reveal or not to reveal as a therapist. And Dr. Scheel, what are some of the considerations that we should be thinking about when it comes to whether or not we reveal, and if we do reveal, how much to reveal when we're in that position as a therapist?
Well, I know practitioners on both sides of the fence. Carolyn Coffin is a leader in eating disorder treatment, and she created a facility and a residential and has done many things since, and who's very out about her history of anorexia. And she's very, very, poignant about helping patients because she has been there, and so there's an identification piece. So on the one hand, that's a remarkable thing, because patients who, you have to know that when someone reveals that they have an eating disorder, generally anorexia you can see, but bulimia you often can't. So unless they have swollen parotid glands, or there's some diagnosable comes from their physician that says, wait a minute, all these medical issues you have are consistent with bulimia. And so, but sometimes patients, no one knows for a very long time, and so when they're in the room with a therapist, to feel that a therapist has been there often can make it safer for that person to feel that they will be understood. So that's the plus side. The downside is that the therapist can identify, and so her issues, the therapist, or his issues, the therapist, are not necessarily what the patient's issues are. So that can become problematic, not only for the therapist, but for the patient as well, also, who says, well, what makes you so sure that this may be related to me? This may be what your experience was, right? So it's, you can see both sides of the fence. It's very important to remain neutral in that process, in terms of that the patient's experience is ultimately their own experience, and there's nothing that's added to it. So sometimes it's helpful and sometimes it's not, which kind of leads me into another area of that, about body size and shape. Now, I am a 5'1". I'm a runner of many years of athletics. I'm fit. I eat tremendously well, and I fuel my body regularly. So for some patients, that's great, because I'm a thin person. And by the way, by those medical charts, I am seen as, even though I am very thin, I am seen as overweight because of my musculature. So you can't go by the charts, for one. Yeah, which is really interesting. So on the one hand, patients can feel safe with me, that I'm not going to, particularly anorexic patients, that I'm not going to make them fat, right? Their word, fat. The other side of that, if someone comes in who is clinically compulsive eating, clinically obese, and can look at me and say, how am I going to understand her or him, right? So it's the same kind, you're in sort of either a win or a no-win situation. And all of that is what has to get worked through over the course of time anyway. The goal is that a patient can feel able to express those feelings, and you can deal with them in the treatment, because it's not only that part of the communicating with the therapist, but that therapeutic relationship then becomes a representation of sort of the prototype of how then a person needs to go out into the world and relate in life. If you can do it in therapy, then by design you can do it with others.
Now, one of the things, of course, we know that we'll have the individual coming in, and I appreciate you for mentioning he or her or him, because we're finding out more and more that we're having more males who are dealing with eating disorders as well. They're coming in as individuals, and some of the signs, symptoms that we're looking for that let us know this person really does indeed have an eating disorder. What are some of the medical signs as far as what's happening with their bodies? How serious can it get? I mean, if they don't stop.
Men and women, generally, there are similar issues medically, and then there are very different ones. You know, guys tend to juice up, you know, steroidal use, over-exercise is the most common for males. And here's a, you know, we still consider that the male athlete, the more he exercises, the better the athlete, or the more prestige he gets, or the more stroking, right? And it's confusing because we don't tend to see over-exercising in men as an eating disorder, and we need to. We see it more clearly with women now. The medical issues, you know, you'll see the steroidal use, you'll see the over-exercise, you'll see the muscle, because eventually, when there's not fat in the body, the body will start eating up its muscle, right? There's no fat to, you know, so we'll see muscle wasting in men. You know, the same deal with parotid glands with men and women, the swollen, those chipmunks, cheeks on the side of the face that get developed when somebody has a chronic history or is chronically purging from bulimia. So you'll see the parotid gland swollen, and that you'll see in men and in women. Women, you know, same kinds of things. We'll notice it more with women because women's hair tends to be longer, brittle hair, falling out hair, period stopping. Men don't, you know, you can't see initially testosterone drop, but you'll see estrogen drop in women, because here's the thing, this is again back to the diet thing. In order to produce estrogen for women and men, you know, men have a degree of estrogen, we need to eat fat. Fat is responsible for the production of estrogen. Estrogen is responsible for fertility. Estrogen is also responsible for bones. That what brittle bones are caused from is the lack of estrogen for men and women. And so more often in women, we will see bone density loss, that they will be developing osteoporosis at the ripe old age of 25.
Wow.
And the same will be true for men. So you're looking at those kinds of constellations medically. You're looking at heart rate, you know, beats per minute, you know, and you, again, have to be very aware that an athlete's heart rate is going to be lower than the average person. So you've got to factor in the athletic and eating disorders versus the non-athletic, and all these things create a particular and unique medical picture that physicians who, you know, bottom line is that if there is a compassionate, and this is, you know, relates to some of the familial questions again about what gets conveyed, you know, family in terms of emotionally, but a physician with, you know, used to be called kind of bedside manner, who has a soothing and non-judgmental approach with a patient versus, you know, oh, congratulations to someone with anorexia who's gained a pound, and say, oh, you've gained a pound, that can be oftentimes very, very, very triggering for a patient to lose weight. So we have many players in the who are needed to heal somebody with an eating disorder.
I tell you what, when we come back, this is just fascinating. When we come back, we've gotten a fairly good foundation. I know there's so much more, but we've gotten a fairly good foundation of what's happening on the individual level. Could we begin to take a journey down the portion of this picture, the part of this picture that directly involves the family, so that we begin to see how eating disorders may let us know more about what's happening with the family?
That sounds great. I would love to.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, hey, you all know, very often you have that one person who is identified in the family as the one with the problem. But very often there is a family problem that's in play, and that may not be just as obvious as the problem with that individual, but it's just as real. Dr. Shields is going to help us understand that when we come back, particularly as it references eating disorder and the family affair. We'll be right back.